That's a little warm up before the regular season. And then it's on like Donkey Kong. All right, the most wanted tickets in the Bay, too, are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick, Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com.
Where is Ja?
Now, we're talking Andy Reid and Belichick, and you think about what spearheaded them, the dynasties, right? And there's always these signature plays. For Belichick, goes the Tuck Rule. Belichick and Brady, the Tuck Rule against the Raiders. And I know Raider fans, I feel you, because I was watching that game live and I was like, wow, what a blitz by Charles Woodson. Greg Beekert under recovery. What a play. Great call. I think the defensive coordinator was Bresnahan, Chuck Bresnahan, and he called a great slot corner blitz. Boom. Game over. But nope, we got the Tuck Rule. Well, next thing you know, Belichick and Brady go on to have one of the greatest dynasties ever. Obviously, we know about the catch and Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and what happened on that play. But I even look back at Eric Wright horse collaring Drew Pearson to prevent him from scoring a touchdown. That spearheaded them. They go on to win the Super Bowl. They have a goal line saying the rest is history. They were the best team in the 80s. There's all these different plays, and I'll play a couple for everybody. But this third and 15 play, love you. Let me know when you get the you got it up? You got it? Here, third and 15. I swear to God, we don't talk about it enough. This play drives me crazy because I remember the moment we're all at the studio and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, and I'm not going to lie, it was a little festive in that bad boy. It was 20-10. The room, the energy, it felt like the Niners had already won. It already won. Spinotti's sitting in the back. And this play happened, and it changed the history for the Kansas City Chiefs. It changed the way we talk about Shanahan. It changed the way we view Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's kept the Niners from hoisting hardware. Here it is, 3rd and 15, Super Bowl 54. I'm going to play this, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this, Shasky, and we can kind of go through some plays that's changed the history of their sport, games, whatever it is. But here's 3rd and 15, Aikman the Buck, Fox Sports.
During the break, they overturned the call. It's a successful challenge by Kyle Shanahan. Because of that, the ball on the ground, no clean catch. Tyreek Hill was wide open, and Patrick Mahomes just couldn't get it to him.
He's not played well, Joe. He's missed some open guys. He's had interceptions as a result of it, and that should have been his easiest completion of the night.
Instead, it's 3rd and 15. Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open, caught, and they get it. Kansas City, the big play. Of 44 yards, pressure by Buckner. Joey, and Mahomes gets it downfield finally.
He gets the pressure down the field all the way on Jimmy Ward, and once you threaten him, he's one-on-one on the safety. Now you got to have time in the pocket in order to deliver that throw, and he got it. He hung in there. I think it was Bosa who was maybe coming off the edge to his left, but he had time, line held up. Huge play on third down.
Shasky, February 2nd, 2020, Super Bowl 54. The play is called 2-3 Jet Chip Wasp. 2-3 Jet Chip Wasp is the play. And it's got its own Wikipedia page. It's got its own page on Wikipedia. And that play, as Aikman and Buck set it up, and it happens, and everything's been downhill, was downhill in that Super Bowl from that point. Signature play that changed the history of the Chiefs, the 49ers, and the way we view the NFL today, the Chiefs have won 3-4, 3-5, dude. 3-5.
I mean, he's putting together, you know, I'm talking Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaching careers of all time since that moment.
Yep.
And he went from being like the biggest loser in the sport outside of Marv Levy to now people are saying, what if he would have had Mahomes a little earlier? Maybe we're looking at the greatest coach of all time. Wow. Now, I still believe it to be Belichick, and we can have another conversation later. But yeah, the fallout from that is unreal. Like, do you get Travis Kelce being what he currently is? Is he with Swifty right now? Like, who knows, right? Like, who knows? You know, I think about that all the time. That's one of those moments. And then how do you view the Niners? I think about this all the time. Kaepernick hits Michael Crabtree. They run in for a touchdown. However you want it to go down, they win that game. How different are the Niners? How different do we view all those players? Kaepernick, Harbaugh, Willis, Gore, Justin Smith. That's something that is like etched in my head, and I feel the same way about Shanahan and his team.
How about this play? January 20th, 1991.
continues to tick off those precious seconds. First and 10. Three again. Hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball. Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball. That's the first turnover today.
That's pass number all. John Madden, CBS Sports. What if Roger Craig doesn't fumble?
Well, what if Leonard Marshall doesn't hit Montana and Pepper Johnson and them boys try to destroy him? I had that card. It's a hologram card. Yeah. And as much as it pains me, seeing Roger Craig get stuffed and then fumble and Lawrence Taylor scoop it up was just all-time bad.
What about this? What about this play? What about this possession? What about this shot?
With the Spurs foul. Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket. James catches, puts up the three. Won't go. Rebound Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining. Spurs do not have a timeout. But the officials are going to review to see if Allen was behind the line.
Game six, Miami Heat. 2012, Ray Allen doesn't hit the shot. They don't go back-to-back. What happens with LeBron James? What's his finals record? What do the Heatles look like? So there's always these plays, and I would love to open it up to the audience at 888-957-9570. What is the one play you're convinced in the history of sports, whatever it is, baseball, football, soccer, if you got a play that you feel like changed the trajectory of a team, of a sport, of a league, like there's the drive with John Elway. The Cleveland Browns. What about the next year when I think it was Ernest Biner was it given? Ernest Biner, I believe, when he fumbled at the goal line in Mile High Stadium. He's going in for the game with a touchdown. Maybe they go to the Super Bowl and Marty Schottenheimer is thought of differently. All of a sudden, Marty Schottenheimer is a winner, not a loser. What if this didn't happen in 04 at Fenway Park?
Pinch runner Dave Roberts is going to come in for Boston. He can run. Picked up from the Dodgers. Miller still waiting for his first pitch. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts. Safe.
Roberts had a great jump. It was a good ball for Posada to throw on. Good call.
It doesn't get talked about enough. Dave Roberts still in second, scoring a game-tying run. The Red Sox win a game, and they go on to win four straight games against the New York Yankees in the ALCS in 04.
I had that down on my list, and the Dave Roberts stolen base is one of those moments that just is etched in my head. When the Giants went in 2007, I went to Boston. It was the first time Giants, Red Sox, regular season, and that Friday night, Dave Roberts was in the lineup for the Giants, and it was just one of his final years, and the Red Sox gave him a standing ovation, the fans gave him a standing ovation. And that was the first time he had been back to Fenway since that season. Pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
Pretty crazy. And so to see them talk about that stolen base really cemented how important that moment was. Like, it's interesting that you bring up moments because there's other things, like there's transactions or injuries that happen that I was thinking about. Like, obviously, to me, one of the greatest ones, like just in anybody's top five, Babe Ruth trade.
Yeah.
Right. But that's a trade. And there was a lot that went into this.
Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors is obviously right there.
Bo Jackson getting hurt.
Wow.
Right? Like, Bo Jackson getting hurt is one of those, like, woulda, coulda, shoulda things for a variety of reasons, for a variety of teams. You know, do the Raiders win more playoff games and then maybe they stay in L.A. and never come back to Oakland? Does Bo stick with football? Or, you know, he missed multiple years in baseball. Right. Like, what does that do to his baseball career? You know, Bo... I know we look at Shohei as like one of the top athletes in sports right now. Right. Bo was that dude for guys our age.
Yeah, no doubt.
And paved the way for so many people. So no doubt. I think about the Bo Jackson injury all the time.
There's a lot of Jeter flip plays.
I've got that on my
list. Jeter flip play, obviously against the A's. All-time play by Derek Jeter. Unbelievable. Also, I'm seeing here the easy answer is the tuck rule. Simultaneously catapulted Brady's career and ended the Raiders championship window.
Can I throw one from college sports at you from our youth?
Please.
I often think about Chris Webber in the timeout.
Wow. Well, that's such a good one.
And I know that people don't remember that. It is such a long time ago. But the Chris Webber timeout, people that hated the Fab Five, it was like the cementing of like, ha, losers. You know what I mean? People hated them. And like that hung around Webber.
His entire career.
Oh, my goodness.
To this day.
It was like, what were you thinking? And that's it was one call. Of those moments like, I can't stop thinking about the Webber timeout.
That's a hell of a pull. That's a hell of a pull right there. That's a great pull. How about this one?
Give it to me.
Third down and five. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
Oh my God. This ball's thrown and Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player. Harrison trying to knock it down. And Eli, man, I don't know how he got out of there. I thought he was on the ground and then he came out of the pile and just slings it. That's a great catch by David Tyree.
And now with 59 seconds left, the Giants needing a touchdown. The ball is at the New England 24.
Obviously, the Patriots were 18-0, 07, going for a perfect season. Dolphins, the only team in 72 to go perfect in the NFL, going 17-0. And the Patriots, that helmet catch changed everything for David Tyree, for Eli Manning, for Tom Coughlin, for that New York Giants organization. And for a while, we thought, boy, is Belichick and Brady going to ever win another one? Because remember, they lost to the Giants a few years later. And it felt like maybe that's it for the Patriots. Maybe that's it, especially when they're down 10 against Seattle in the fourth quarter. But for a little period of time there, Randy Moss doesn't get a ring. Wes Welker doesn't get a ring. A lot of guys, that season, it was an all-time season, and yet the helmet catch changed everything.
I mean, that's probably considered the greatest football team ever if they win that game, right?
Yep.
There's, like, no doubt about it. Like, Tom Coughlin and Eli are going to be Hall of Famers because of that moment. There's not a doubt about it. Let me give you one off the board that I was thinking about, like, just, like, big picture in terms of the evolution of American female sports. What about Brandi Chastain?
Wow.
You know, and the PK goal winner and the way the whole thing went down. I think guys our age, we all remember where we were when that.
No doubt.
Her going like this,
ripping the jersey off.
Like, that's a moment I think about a lot.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That was huge for women's sports, huge for U.S. women's soccer. And those ladies on that team, to this day, are still appreciated. Wherever they go, they get standing ovations. 100%. They eat for free in the States.
100%.
Seriously, they've all done something. They've all, like, that entire roster.
I was listening to a Caitlin Clark interview where she referenced that about how she wasn't the biggest soccer fan growing up, but how, like, what that meant into all of the people that she knew playing soccer and whatnot. It was just an interesting conversation. It's something that, like, didn't come to my forefront, but I was thinking, like, man, you take that out? I don't know if American women's sports is where it is today.
How about this one? So I was just going down a rabbit hole all day yesterday. I was like, wow, these moments. Because we could pick apart plays, and I see a lot on the text line, so I appreciate the participation here. This is the one that doesn't get talked about enough. And the trickle-down effect from this pitch and this home run was pretty tragic. And I'll get to that after we play the clip. But we don't get the Bill Buckner moment if this doesn't happen in an ALCS.
Pinch runner Dave Roberts is going to come in for Boston.
Wrong one. Here it is. Wrong Dave.
To left.
Your boy Al Michaels with a call of the ages. Dave Henderson. I pulled that part because I know Shasky loves Al Michaels. But Dave Henderson, down to his last strike. Red Sox down to their last strike. Down 3-1 in the ALCS in 86. And the Angels on the cusp of going to their first ever World Series. And Hindu hits one deep. The Red Sox tie the game. Actually, he took the lead. Angels ended up tying it in the bottom of the ninth inning. And the Red Sox won that game in extras. But the Red Sox will go on to win three straight games, rallying from a 3-1 deficit because they went back to Fenway Park and just smoked them. But Henderson hitting that home run off of Donnie Moore. And we all know the Donnie Moore story, right? We know the Donnie Moore story? Well, Donnie Moore, oh my gosh, Donnie Moore was their closer. And he never quite recovered from that. And this is going to get a little dark here. But he ended up committing suicide in 1989. And he had some problems there. A lot of people kind of point to that play of saying that, boy, he was never the same after that. He was dealing with a shoulder injury or whatnot, but he ended up getting released. And his career ended. He had a 14-year career, but unfortunately in 1989, he shot his wife. His wife survived, Tanya. But he ended up committing suicide in front of one of his kids. And they point to that saying that Donnie Moore never got over the fact that he gave up that home run when the Angels were a strike away at going to the... It would have been Mets, Angels in the 86 World Series. Would have never got Bill Buckner. Would have never got Ray Knight jumping up and down. It would have been completely different had Henderson not hit that jack the left field. And the strut. I wish people could watch the strut by Hindu. The strut around the bases was all time.
You've got so many. You're dropping a lot that were on my list. Did you have... What if Vince Young doesn't score a touchdown against USC?
Wow.
Because that's a moment in my life that I think about. Like, what if Reggie Bush was on the field and Lendale White converts in that situation and USC goes on to winning that game? Is that the greatest football team of all time in college football?
They have an argument to be the greatest football team of all time.
Think about Vince Young's career. I mean, I know we forgot. He was awesome his rookie year.
He was awesome. Didn't he win Rookie of the Year with the Titans?
I believe
he won, like, a lot of games. They were like... They ascended that season. He's looking good.
He was on the cover of Madden.
He was so good. He was unstoppable. Another one I want to go your way, because you're a boxing fan.
Yeah.
What if Buster Douglas doesn't knock out 37-0 Mike Tyson?
Wow. Wow. Then you get Holyfield Tyson. Wow.
Right. I think about the woulda, coulda, shoulda of Tyson's life.
No doubt.
Forget his career. His life after that moment.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good call.
Can I give you one more before you go to one of your cuts? This is not sports. It was like life related. But what if Tiger never gets outed in the car crash after Thanksgiving? He didn't win a major for over a decade after that, and it felt like he was not the same as an individual. In the same way, Deshaun Watson is just not the same since all the accusations. It felt like that night in Thanksgiving, we all remember when Tiger crashed that car. He was the greatest golfer ever. He was unstoppable. He went forever without winning a big major.
Until the Masters, huh?
I think most people can't look at Tiger the same since that moment. There's like pre-crash Tiger, post-crash Tiger.
Yeah. And it just looked like he spiraled as a person for a while. I mean... Didn't he dye his hair at one point blonde, and he just
lost teeth?
It just got a little weird.
Would you agree?
It got a little weird with Tiger, no doubt.
How about the one that comes to me like when I'm thinking long and hard, like the history of the sport, AFL, NFL, they end up playing each other in the Super Bowl, and I think about Joe Namath calling his shot and winning that game. Let's say they don't win that game. Does the NFL become the NFL the way it is now?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. The AFL needed that win. They needed that win bad. Bad. Because they were mocked. The NFL were the good old boys, right? Can't get in our league. We're the best league and blah, blah, blah. And then you think about the competition of signing players left and right and all the money that was getting thrown around to get players. Kind of like the USFL and the NFL later on in the 80s, where the USFL comes into play and they're throwing money at Reggie White and Steve Young and Jim Kelly and Rick Neuheisel and Nate Newton and all these guys. And then, of course, we know who ruined that league. We don't need to get into that. But, no, that Super Bowl was very important. It's a sticky point in NFL history. Here's a funny one for the Cockeyes Business Sex Line. Gordon Bombay missing the penalty shot against the Hawks during the Pee Wee Hockey Championship. He scored 198 goals that season. Good. That's right. It changed the way they viewed him.
Joke artist. I mean, if you're going to go miss shots, I don't know. I don't know how you view it. Like, there's so many woulda, coulda, shouldas. The behind the back pass from Curry, the Kyrie shot. I often think about, what if Iggy jammed that ball on LeBron and he doesn't get the block? Does KD come to the Warriors?
Probably not. What if Kawhi misses the shot against the Sixers? And it rims out and the Sixers win it overtime. Who's in the finals against the Golden State Warriors in 2019? Is it the Bucks? Is it the Philadelphia 76ers? Got one last one for you.
Yeah, give it to me.
And if you're a Sacramento King fan, you may want to turn off the radio. Because this shot right here changed some history.
It's a two-point Sacramento lead. We're down to 7 seconds. Wyatt putting the move on Christie. Rebound O'Neal. Coming up short. Ori for the win.
Sacramento needed. Defense on Kobe and one rebound. They got neither. The ball poked out there. Vlade did a good job. Nobody at the line. The shot, 3 points. Jordan Bedlam Pandemonium has broken out here at Staples.
And there's no question, Steve, he got it off on time.
Now, I get it. There was a game seven, and that shot tied the series at 2-2. But the Lakers down 3-1 against that Sacramento team, I don't see them coming back to win that series. May 26, 2002, Horry hits that shot. Lakers go on the three-peat in that shadow of call of the timeout in the NCAA title game by Chris Webber. He wins the championship that year because whoever was winning the Western Conference is going to win the championship. They're going to smoke the Nets. Chris Webber's reputation is completely different. Sacramento has a champion. They have a champion.
That's the last three-peat in American sports. That Lakers squad. Can we see it again with the Chiefs this year, potentially?
It wasn't the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Nope.
Wow.
They weren't. They won back-to-back.
I thought, for some reason in my mind, I thought they won three in a row.
So,
wow, that was jeez.
So you think about these plays that alter history, alter sports history.
They get forgotten.
They get forgotten. And that's why 3rd and 15 to me, when I think about it over and over, we know what happened in Las Vegas. We know what happened in the regular season at Levi's Stadium. We know what happened at Arrowhead when Jimmy Garoppolo tore his knee up late in the fourth quarter, tore his ACL trying to, you know, make a move back inside. But 3rd and 15 to Super Bowl 54, I'm convinced every single day, boy, if the Niners get a stop on that play. This whole thing is dead. We're having parades down Market Street. We think of Jimmy completely different. Jimmy's eating for free in the Bay Area. There's no slang. Like, we can say what Jimmy is and isn't, but they win that Super Bowl. Jimmy's a god here.
I mean, come on.
He's a god.
It's like Zito winning that World Series game. Everyone went crazy. And crazy. Even more so because he's the starting quarterback.
Barry Zito had a game and a half.
He was good that postseason, but you're right.
But it completely erased how bad the 7-year, $126 million contract was.
It was horrible. I'm gonna make you pick your one moment that you're eradicating from your sports life. I'm making you pick one.
One moment that I want to eradicate from my sports life.
And you're altering the outcome. For your teams, preferably.
Wow.
I know what it is for me.
I'm going Kyle Williams fumble.
Well, you took the one I was going to take.
I'm going Kyle Williams fumble.
I wanted that team to win a championship so bad.
In terms of favorite teams I've ever had, it's the 93 Giants. It's that 49er team.
Of course.
And it's the 2015-16 Warriors.
I was going to say maybe the Scott Spezio moment for that, because that Giants team meant a lot to me. Like the Scott Spezio home run in 2002. But that Kyle Williams, like, it wasn't just once. It happened multiple times. And that team was so good. And I'm convinced they were going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, no, I was convinced, too.
And those players meant so much.
Willis and Bowman.
That's the moment
Smith,
for me.
Yeah, Gore and Alex Smith was going to get his redemption. And we think of Alex Smith differently had they won that Super Bowl, advanced to the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
But I love it. Still be quarterbacking.
No, just we're thinking of moments that we could eradicate that one play.
I'm making you pick one.
Yeah, I was going to pick one. No, if we could eradicate one play, make sure that play never happened, how history changes, it got to be Klay Thompson ACL, right?
Oh.
If he doesn't go, let's say he doesn't go up for that shot, let's say he stops, takes a jumper or something like that, like, how different is the Warriors? How different is Klay? How different is the show? Like, that's some reverberations.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, and not to, this is going to come off a certain way, like, but I don't want to railroad Klay, but it's hard to not watch the current Warriors and not think like the timing was really right for them to move off of Klay Thompson, because I'm seeing ball movement and there just seems to be it's just different. Flow, and this is not a Klay slander thing.
No, let me get it here. I think it was the right time for both parties.
I agree.
And what the Warriors did was something that the Giants couldn't do, which is you got to make tough decisions. And the toughest decision you can make is letting go of a legacy player, a player who's an icon in his region with this fan base, with this team. And the Giants, they couldn't move off the Brandons. They couldn't move off the Posies. It was tough for them to move off of Bumgarner, for crying out loud. It took them to get a new GM to move off of Bumgarner. The Warriors made a tough decision, but I think it's the right decision to move off of Klay at the point that they did, because you need to reinvent yourself. You need to fix your financials. Like, we're going to all miss Klay Thompson. I know I'm going to miss Klay Thompson.
He's a legend.
And he's going to play well in Dallas. I'm not going to go freak out over 9 in the preseason when Kyrie and Luka's not playing. But
it was the right time for both parties to bid adieu to everybody. Like, hey, bye-bye. We're done.
I just this is not some backhanded way of crushing Clay. It's just, it feels like there's a little more oxygen for others to kind of do their thing. And we're not chasing, you know, past play or frustration. And it feels like there's a lot of openness right now. And the vibes are really, and this is not just Clay. Right. There's other things that are deeper than this.
Because,
but I feel like the turning of the page is appropriate. And to your point about like both parties need it, it feels right.
No, it feels right. But to defend Clay a little bit, post-All-Star break, I thought Clay was fine. He was free. I mean, we had the post-game interview with him, and he said, you know, Bonte, I've embraced the bench. I get to see how the game's flowing. It's actually easier for me. And he was fine. Like, the tail end of the season, he just played basketball. Now, the first few months, it was rough, right? But there's a lot of things going on with the Golden State Warriors. That's why it's hard for me to just, hey, Clay's gone. Let's do this. There's a lot going on. Chris Paul, we don't even talk about with San Antonio. You think Chris Paul was pleased with not starting or not getting big-time minutes in crunch time?
No.
He wasn't pleased.
No, but I just, to your point about timing, the timing was...
Timing was right.
It was right. And I'm watching the team now, and I don't know if they're going to be better or worse or whatever, but I don't think that you could make these moves, all the moves that they have, and kind of transition without bidding adieu to him. And he's a great player. He's an all-time legend. His jersey will be in the rafters. Yep. We're so grateful and appreciative for everything he brought to the table. But as a guy watches every minute of every game, it's hard to not watch them now and think, boy, they made the right decision, both parties.
No, I think it was the right decision in real time. I think both parties wanted to move on here. I mean, well, the Warriors had their deal in place, and it was emotional for them to watch Clay move. But in order to fix your books, in order now with Clay gone and CP3 gone, and then I know a lot of people wanted the Lowry marketed, the Warriors are now in a position to where they can make a move for a big boy if that presents himself. They have fixed their books. You know what I'm saying? Their books are in order now for the first time. They're not going to be paying a lot of luxury tax money. So, you know what?
Give me names.
I'm rubbing my hands together. We'll see about the names. We'll see how this plays out.
Give me some names, Bonte.
There's always a disgruntled superstar. Always. We'll see who is disgruntled this season. We'll see.
Did you see who's already hurt?
Paul George. And that's a move I'm glad they didn't make.
I wanted to make it. I was prisoner of the moment.
I'm glad they didn't, after doing some research and talking to some people in the offseason about Paul George, that would have been a bad trade for the Warriors. That would have been a bad trade. Sometimes the best trade you make is a trade you don't make. And the Warriors are not gutting the future. Like Danny Ainge out in Utah. Sure, he was probably dangling Lowry marketing. Well, look at what you would have had to give up. The Kuminga, the Pajimskis, the Moody's, maybe a wig, like, and you're going to have to pay him? Now, Lowry's a nice player. He is. But don't you like the way the roster's playing out right now? Aren't you at least intrigued?
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah. I feel good. I'm very excited for this Warriors season.
Well, I am too. It's something different. They start off in Portland at the Moda Center. It's going to be rocking up there.
The fight in Chauncey Billups?
Hey, man. It's a new time. New time.
The Moda Center? It's still the Moda Center?
Still the Moda Center.
All right.
Still the Moda Center. And they just blew out Sacramento in the preseason.
Uh-oh.
I had enough. I saw Deuce Samoa up there in Sacramento. Like, should we overreact to this game?
Imagine building all your content around the Kings. That's got to be tough.
Nah, they got a lot going on. Imagine building content around the Giants the last 5 years.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I mean, the potential luring of Juan Soto, your boy.
Oh, gosh. We're not going to do that, are we?
Oh, the Chronicle's already put out a couple pieces on that.
Have they?
Why Posey is the right man to lure people like Juan Soto. I'm paraphrasing.
Willard and Dibs are getting their passports renewed because they're going to go to Juan Soto's hometown to do a show from there.
Really?
When does that crack come into play?
Where is his hometown?
Give us a second. I want to make sure we pronounce it correctly.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
Oh, nice.
Santo Domingo, yeah. Heard that place is cracking.
That's why you confirm it.